welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
Wow, what a week, what a week, what a week, what a week. I have potentially bought a house. This is very exciting news for me.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, we're waiting to see if it all goes through, all of that.
Yeah.
Now, let's start off with something that was live action and very cheesy, but entirely unintentionally. Now,
Was it the competition where you have to chase the wheel of cheese down a hill?
No. Although I think that was cancelled this year. I think it's in England.
Yeah, it would be.
The cheese chasing competition.
Is it Welsh? Where is
no,
it?
No, I think it's in England. South England.
Somewhere. There's no hills in South England. There's like one hill per village in Southern England.
And then they chose that hill.
Okay.
So I'm actually talking about an instrument of oppression. So in one of the most homophobic countries in the Middle East, the system of enacting that homophobia, which is the instrument of the police, made international news this week.
Oh my God.
Because their cadets graduating class had a sort of, you know, they had like a almost like a victory parade. It reminded me of like the sort of Cold War Moscow sort of marching parades.
Or just like, you know, all the footage you see from like China or North Korea of just like soldiers marching up and down the square. But in sync or something like that.
Yeah, in sync marching.
Yeah.
But all of these Egyptian new police cadets did so, unironically, buffed up, oily, and shirtless.
Yeah, it's not just the fact that they were all shirtless. It's that they were also clearly greased up with baby oil.
Yep, they had a baby oil shortage in the Cairo. as a result of this, I can't verify that. But
and they were like jumping through flaming hoops.
They were doing like leaping and...
Yeah, the weirdest part of all, and there is no context where this is not creepy, was when they were just standing there stock still, like statues, flexing on top of these like moving, like multi-tiered floats, basically like going down the parade. And it was just, first time I saw it, I was like, I think this is meant to be homoerotic, but it's more of a turnoff. And then I find out, no, it's a demonstration. And I'm like, I don't know what this demonstrates. And it's supposed to be demonstrating the prowess of the police, but they're just standing there flexing. Like,
yeah, it's like if early Arnold Schwarzenegger put on a parade.
Actually,
do you know, that's the vibe I got.
The vibe I got is what straight men think gay men want.
Yes, yes. It's as if a very straight man
tried to predict,
tried to make a gay pride parade.
Yeah.
And it's all just oiled up beefy men.
Yeah.
But in like a very off-putting way.
I think they were also, all of them, waxed.
Yes. They were just like, they looked like gummy bears almost.
It was very preening.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
You should all look it up on Google, Egyptian police graduation march. It is an experience.
It's so peculiar. And like, I'm on the internet on various sites and various, like just Reddit and Discord chats and things like that. And a lot of people there'd be one gay guy who's like, yeah, that was hot. And then everybody else would be like, why? How did you find that erotic?
What? Yeah.
You've got to, oh man. Anyway,
I mean, I feel like that's gone too far in the other direction. You know, when someone's trying to be sexy, but they're trying so hard to be sexy, it's really unsexy.
I just read an article about that. There was a guy in the States, an actor, can't remember the name, and he kept posting like shirtless pics of himself, being like, "It's hot to go out to vote," and all these women were replying like, "My coochie is so dry right now," because like in Western culture, especially North America, but it's not unique to North America. The concept of sexual masculinity is supposed to be effortless. The moment you like start flexing or preening or posing or like making a sexy face or anything like that, you come off as a...
constipated?
No, as an F-boy, let's
yes,
say.
Yes.
You come off as thirsty and not as desirable.
Mm-hmm.
That like, you know, the sexiest thing is the guy who's not even looking at the camera.
For those who aren't familiar with this millennial lingo... You come off as desperate, not desirable.
Not desirable, kind of skeezy.
Yeah. Those vibes,
But if you look at how sexualized men are depicted in other cultures, it's not the same. It's like, famously, if you look at like Bollywood, the way that men sexualize themselves in Bollywood is a completely different beast. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's really interesting looking at how different cultures look
maybe at it. Maybe in Egypt, matching up, oiled up in baby oil, leaping through fiery flames.
Or just standing there like a statue.
Is a Tuesday. Who knows? You know, we're not Egyptian. It just, it struck us as somewhat
I'm not Egyptian, so I shouldn't presume. But I feel like that's not the case.
I feel like it may not be the case either. I don't think it would have made international news if it was quite the case. Now, speaking of something also amazing, but in much worse news, an update for us.
The amazing Randy. Not many people might know that name, but there's a lot of circles that I pay attention to where the amazing Randy is actually a very big deal. So the amazing Randy was an entertainer. He was a magician. Or a, like, prestidigitarian, like a stage magician, I should say. And he got kind of famous in the late 70s, early 80s by going on Johnny Carson. And he did a lot of debunking videos. So he would do performances, but he was also very clear, like, this is because I spent hundreds of hours practicing cards or practicing...
Yeah, sleight of hand.
Yeah. Like, this is, you know, there's a trick to this. He was actually the inspiration for Penn and Teller to get into the magic
business. Worth noting that the amazing Randy was 90.
Yeah, no, he was in his 70s.
Yeah. I thought he was in his 90s.
He was also openly gay as of the early 90s. Something that I always kind of liked about the amazing Randy was that he was an openly gay man who was famous for something other than just being openly gay.
Mm-hmm. Or dying of AIDS.
Or dying of AIDS, or being an activist, or being murdered in the name of activism or something. Like, he did a thing. He was also one of the leading voices in the skepticism movement. He, famous debunker, so Uri Geller, who was a TV mysticist in the 70s and 80s, all these things with, like, bending spoons and turning pages with his mind, and the moment he sat down across from the Amazing Randy, none of it worked anymore, because not only did the Amazing Randy know his tricks and knew how to block them, he knew where the invisible thread was. He knew that the pages weren't turning on their own. Uri Geller was blowing on them through his nose. So, like, he would just, like, put a card in front of Uri Geller's face, and all of a sudden the book wouldn't turn anymore. And he was like, oh, you're disturbing my chi. And then the Amazing Randy would be like, oh, really? And then he would blow the pages through his nose and be like, looks pretty easy to me there, buddy. So he was really big in the skeptics community, and he was very big in the idea of, like...
I mean, that seems like a bit of a dick move to me, that you're the Amazing Randy, but if any other magician tries to ply their trade...
Uri Geller was also selling mystical healing.
Oh, okay.
He was blocking people
from
getting...
taking advantage.
Yeah, he was taking advantage. And the Amazing Randy also did cold readings to prove that speaking to the afterlife is not a thing. Or if it is, it's easy to fake. He was really big into science education and teaching people constructive criticism, skepticism, because he is a magician, so he wants people to be open-minded and he wants people to believe in stuff. But he's also like, there's a difference between believing in something because it's fun versus believing in something and then getting fooled and hurting yourself.
Yeah.
So as it happens, like, Penn and Teller are also kind of on this right now, but the difference between, you know, how do you believe in science in a way that's positive, how do you believe in science in a way that's negative. Like, I learned hydroxychloroquine, the famous fish cleaner sterilizer.
Which Trump was adamant everybody should take.
Okay.
And then the whole of the EU was like, no.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
It's a treatment for lupus. It actually is a real medicine, but you got to be careful about the dose. You got to be careful about your body weight. You got to be careful about side effects on your kidneys. It's not something you just take casually.
It can cause heart palpitations.
Yeah, like it can cause, you need to get, I think it's it disturbs your potassium cycle. So you need to take supplements to also do that. Also, actually, if you drink too much tonic, because quinine has the exact same side effects, just less intense.
I should cut back on my G&Ts.
We drink a fair deal of tonic, but we do not drink enough tonic. And I don't think Canada Dry has real quinine in it.
Not even like the cheap home brand stuff?
It's probably some kind of artificial quinine.
Okay.
So, but anyway. Yeah, the Amazing Randy, he passed away recently. He was very involved in the skeptics community, and then he got colorectal cancer.
Oh.
And then pulled through it.
Oh.
So the he actually just died of old age related causes. Just,
oh, nice. Like, I mean, well, not nice, but like
it's the least worst way to die.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like he had a good life. It's something worth celebrating. If you want to read a story about a gay man who eventually, anyway, because he was born in the 50s. So
what is it with gay men going into magic? Because the biggest magician of my generation in Britain,
Darren Brown,
yeah. Absolutely love the man. You know, and I think that's, I don't know, maybe the same about young gay kids going into magic.
I don't know. Or performance and stuff like that. Because actually, yeah, when I was an undergrad, I knew somebody who was studying hypnosis, partly for stage stuff so that he could like just bankroll his education. But then he was also very interested in like psychotherapy and hypnosis therapy.
We will be jumping back after Rufus Wainwright's Peaceful Afternoon. I was thrilled to find a Rufus Wainwright song which didn't put me into a coma.
He's so a bit morose.
He is very
talented but morose.
I know. Yeah. I know. Sometimes, like Rufus, cheer up, buddy. Mm. Like, cheer up.
Things are going well for you.
Yeah. Mm. Smile. Yeah. Have a good day. Anyways, this is Rufus Wainwright's Peaceful Afternoon. We shall be back just after this.
Well, it's coming on to 13 years together, babe. I pray that it's a luck, a lucky, lucky number. And although I know I've brought you joy and happiness, babe, I've also been a fuck for country source for anger. I see all the peaceful
welcome back to Calgary, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And we promised to actually talk about some news.
Yes.
So let's start off with La Belle Provence, Quebec.
Quebec, yeah. It's a fairly short update, but it's very positive. They introduced a new bill, Bill 70, to basically just ban conversion therapy in Quebec. It has very broad support. I don't think there's any... None of the parties are against it. I think, if I remember correctly, because the articles that I was reading... And none of the official party lines were particularly clear in any of the articles that I could read. But I think it's just an issue of, like, the NDP, the... I can never remember. There's the Parti Québécois and the Bloc Québécois, and one of them are the Jerks Party, and the other one is the, oh, I'd probably vote for them party. I can't remember which one. Bloc is the Jerks, and Parti is the okay one, right? You don't know
the
either.
The Bloc Québécois is the provincial party in power in Quebec.
Okay, well then, yeah. So, the NDP, the Liberals, the Quebec Greens have been dissociated. They've been sort of like distanced by the National Convention. But anyway, but most of the parties are towing the party line of we are against this. I think the Conservatives and the Bloc are allowed to vote as their writings want them to. So
vote by conscience.
Vote by conscience. But it looks like it's going to be a landslide yes. So probably by next summer, because question period in Quebec is usually over the winter. Well, I mean, question period in most of the provinces is over the winter. So it should be implemented by next summer. There will be a full ban on conversion therapy. And from the phrasing of the law, which is phrased in French, so I'm not really going to read it out right now, they're making it pretty clear that if it looks like it might be conversion therapy, you need to justify yourself in front of a court as to why you're doing what you're doing. So they're coming down pretty hard on it. It's the usual, you know, they've recognized it as being a form of torture. They are recognizing it as just an inappropriate use of the field of psychology. And it's an unenforceable thing that people should not be made to go through. Like, everything about it is just horrible, so let's ban it. So they're going through with that. So they're going to be, what, I think the fifth province to ban it at the provincial level, even though...
Maybe all of them now. Quebec will be the last big one. Big province.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing is, if they're banning it because they're considering it a form of mental torture, shouldn't things that are called mental torture be done at the federal level?
Yeah, the criminal offenses, when it reaches into the criminal code, it is going to be dealt with. But I mean, it was interesting, when we were talking to the city of Ottawa, they were like, well, we can't ban it as a business. We can't ban their use of the public space. We can't, you know, give them a ticket. Because all of those are provincial offences.
Okay.
So, you know, and that's really what the issue is. You know, okay. The municipality is sort of stuck. You know, out in Alberta and BC, the municipal acts empower those municipalities to do more.
Okay.
But in the province of Ontario, the province holds that authority. So when it comes to criminal law, the feds are being left with it. And in fact, there was a story... because the Equitas and the Dignity Initiative had a roundtable with the sort of UN expert on LGBT human rights, and a few others as well, including the Minister of Diversity for the Canadian government. Actually, we're talking, hopefully, with the Executive Director of the Dignity Network next week about a new initiative from the Canadian federal government. I won't scoop ourselves. We're talking about it next week.
Okay.
But during the conversation, they were saying about how the federal anti-conversion bill is actually offering a bit of a roadmap for other countries to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an interesting point. But yeah, it's the division of powers. What exactly are you banning? You know, the criminal offense is federal. The business practice?
Yeah.
That's provincial.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, it's a business practice issue.
We have a ton of stories out of Europe as well.
Yes, we do. But before we get to that, I wanted to loop in about a story. We talked a little bit about...
Vancouver.
Yes, Vancouver.
We should talk about Vancouver.
Justin Morissette, who was a Vancouver broadcaster. He works for Sportsnet 650. And we were talking a little bit ago about how a whole bunch of anti-gay hate preachers We're going on a cross-Canada tour.
Oh, yes.
As long as you only include two provinces.
Oh, yes, okay.
Because that was the extent of their cross-Canada tour.
Well, if you go to Newfoundland and you go to BC, technically you are crossing Canada.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
maybe, but they're not going to
Maybe they're defining their tour according to their Air Canada flight. I'm not sure.
But actually, wait, isn't the furthest east actually in Halifax? Not Halifax.
Like Newfoundland?
No, is it? It's got to be Newfoundland.
Maybe, yeah, it's further out.
Okay. Anyway, unrelated. Go on.
So anyway, Justin Morissette was in the downtown Eastside by Davie Street. And
the LGBT
Davie Street Village, yes.
Yeah.
Now, it's a part of town that is absolutely known. It's not a question mark. It is the gay village.
Yeah.
It is where you are going to find people of a homosexual persuasion.
Yeah, it's floor to ceiling with homos.
Absolutely.
And bisexuals.
You throw a stick, yeah, you're going to hit somebody. Just don't throw sticks.
Don't throw sticks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why are you throwing a stick in a crowd?
Exactly. Silly question. Yeah. Don't throw sticks. But there's, in Davie Village, Dorlove, and which is one of the preachers out of Toronto, decided that was the only location in the whole of Vancouver appropriate for him to, you know, after his preaching.
Okay.
A lot of which was about how, you know, gays are the worst, et cetera, et cetera. Join Jesus.
I mean,
be less gay.
I don't disagree with that, but I think we have different premises.
Yeah.
I'm rewatching Please Like Me with my roommate right now.
Oh, okay.
And she's constantly alarmed, like, why is he doing this? And, like, this is actually a normal experience for gay men.
Mm.
And she's alarmed by how crappy gay men are to each other. But, like, I can say gay men are crappy because I have had to suffer through that.
Yes, yes. We have been unkind to gay men have been unkind to each other in
to
the
one
past.
Another, yeah, yeah, but that's, yeah, a different kind of gay men are the worst than from what this preacher is,
yes,
saying.
Yes, exactly, yes. No, this is more like eternal damnation, the worst.
Yeah, I want gay men to grow up. He wants gay men to go to hell. Like, literally.
Or just says that they will.
Or it just says that they will, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so Justin Morissette goes by and sees these hate preacher with an amplifier, microphone, big amplifier.
Did he have a permit?
Did not have a permit.
He did not have a permit.
No permits. I tell you.
I wish
Where's bylaw when you need them?
I wish this weren't turning into a running gag, but it totally is.
Oh my God. The amount of time hate preachers show up with a microphone and a speaker
and
no permits.
Yeah. And the only legal recourse the cops have is...
issue a bylaw ticket.
Where's your permit? Oh, no permit. Okay.
And you turn it off. So anyway, what's his face? Dole Shepherd Love is doing all this hate speech. And Justin Morissette, who is straight,
yeah,
was like, why? I don't want to have to be forced,
yeah,
to hear this noise,
Drek,
whilst I'm, you know, walking to my date. You know, doesn't want to hear it,
yeah,
with a woman. And so he takes... He was annoyed at the amplified anti-gay rhetoric, is what he told the CBC. He swore at them before snatching away the microphone. Now, you might think, well, that's a little brash.
Mm.
Snatching a microphone.
Mm.
A little brash.
Yeah.
I would imagine that all of the local gays had been trying to tell Dore Shepherd Love to shove it.
Yeah.
Or to leave. Go preach back in some Toronto, whatever town part of Toronto,
mm-hmm,
he hails from. And was promptly ignored. So he takes the microphone. What happens next is a little bit of an escalation. One man jumped on his back, and then according to Morissette, a second man put one leg behind his and wrenched his body until the bones in his left leg snapped.
Ooh.
He ended up in the hospital with two broken bones and a dislocated knee. Now, the Vancouver Police Department did investigate,
mm-hmm,
this particular crime. We talked about it shortly after it happened, about how this preacher snapped,
yeah,
and then snapped a man's leg.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, absolutely outrageous. And what we can now say is in good news, I think, mm-hmm, if this is what counts as good news, is Dore Love faces charges of aggravated assault, and there is now an arrest warrant issued for his arrest.
Is he on the lam? Is he like on the
run? I imagine he's back in Toronto because he's too, you know, this guy wasn't the one that went on the Canada-wide tour,
okay,
of all of two places.
Yeah.
But he is a Toronto-based hate preacher.
Yeah.
And I imagine he is now back in Toronto. So we'll see whether or not Toronto puts him on a plane and ships him over to the VPD.
Well, it's not a badly written American police drama. Like, jurisdiction is a very different process in Canada. You break a law in BC and then you go back to Ontario, you've still broken a law somewhere in Canada. They can just, they don't need to extradite you between provinces.
Well, no, but you would be prosecuted in Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah.
So they would still have to put you on a plane.
Oh, okay.
They'd have to find you,
okay,
put you on a plane, and ship you back to Vancouver. Because
in the states really are state-like. If you break a law in California and just wander across the border into, like, New Mexico, like, they may need to extradite you. It's so bizarre.
Although you have broken federal law in the states at that point.
Oh, yeah,
you
true,
can't
yeah.
flee state lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
So then you're in bigger trouble.
Well, then you rob a bank. Oh, no, actually, that would still be.
You would also be in
trouble. That would be a federal crime. There are some kinds of... It doesn't matter.
Just don't do the crime, man.
I think white-collar crime is at the state level.
I don't know. It's federal.
It depends on how many people you steal from.
Well, actually, it depends on the crime.
White-collar crime is...
Let's move on. So, let's talk about Saskatchewan has an election coming up.
Okay.
It is one of the provinces. Actually, I was highly amused by the CBC. I think it was the CBC who was interviewing Jagmeet Singh, who was talking about how absolutely outrageous it was that Justin Trudeau would even suggest... Mm. that there could be an election at the height of a pandemic, to which the CBC pointed out that Hogan, the premier of BC, who's NDP, has just launched an election at the height of a pandemic. So it's the political, like, somersaults that had to happen very entertaining.
There's a lot of image issues with Jagmeet Singh. I remember a lot of people saying they kind of like the idea of Jagmeet Singh, but in the end, he's a high-powered lawyer in a $7,000 silk suit representing the party that used to be for... unions, working class, small business, and farmers. That there's like an image paradox here that if he just showed up in like a casual outfit, people would be like, oh yeah, Jagmeet Singh. But like, there's, I don't know, there's he's got image management issues, and this is definitely a part of that.
It's just unfortunate that the position they took was that, oh no,
we couldn't possibly
at the same time as NDP Premier Hogan is doing the exact thing that they couldn't possibly do. I mean, that was about a week ago for our listeners. We are sorry for seeming out of date.
Wait, aren't the NDP the only party where the provincial and federal are continuous with each other? Because I think, like, I know the Greens, the provincial Greens are distinct entities, corporate entities from the federal Greens. You don't know. Okay. No, I think the NDP are the only one where it's a continuous group.
So the Out Saskatoon, we're big fans of Out Saskatoon. They've done some really good work. Whenever we come across them, we are very happy.
Like when we're grocery shopping?
Saskatoon Pride. No, not when we're grocery shopping.
Okay.
Just in the news.
In the news
show.
Okay, got it.
Louise. So they issued out a short nonpartisan survey to all of the political parties running in the Saskatchewan election, asking very similar questions. What are you planning on doing? And then how does that affect the LGBT community?
Yeah.
And they are going to give you a grade between sort of A+ down to whatever the lowest one ends up being. Now, it's worth noting that a whole bunch of them just decided to not participate. I believe it was the Saskatchewan Liberals opted out.
Ooh.
The Saskatchewan Progressive Conservatives also just chose not to attend.
Ooh.
And the Saskatchewan Buffalo Party, or the Buffalo Party of Saskatchewan, also did not participate.
Question
so
mark?
The three of them got a failing grade when it comes to
the Buffalo Party?
I don't know. We're going to have to Google them to find out who they
is
are.
Is it like a Rhino Party kind of a situation?
I don't know. Well, you Google them.
Oh, my God.
So the Green Party, the NDP, and the Saskatchewan Party did respond. It's important to note the Saskatchewan Party is the current party in power in the province of Saskatchewan. Now, it was really interesting. The NDP got an A-. The Greens got a B+, but the Saskatchewan Party got a C-, according to this rating provided by Out Saskatoon and Sask Pride. The reason why they told the CBC, the reason for doing this particular study, is because LGBT Saskatchewans, you know, it's sometimes helpful to know how exactly do political parties affect my life on the day-to-day?
Yeah.
So they were looking very specifically at gay things. You know, it was weird. The Greens were like, yeah, we're going to just end the blood ban. I don't know if they realize that that's a federal jurisdiction, but that was one of their big things. Okay. They also want to make Pride a provincial holiday, and I can get behind that. I can get behind that.
Canada has the fewest bank holidays of any country in the world. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, an extra holiday in the middle of June, July? Who's going to disagree? You don't have to be gay.
Yeah.
And just, you know, have a gay old time.
You don't need to be a laborer to get Labor Day off.
Absolutely.
That's probably not the best example. But
I mean, I get
somewhere
it.
Out there, there's someone, that's not what Labor Day's about. But
yeah.
It's a joke.
So apparently the Saskatchewan Party was talking more about what they have done and not necessarily what they plan on doing. For the next 4 years. So the Saskatchewan Party didn't rate too well on accounts of their retrospect as opposed to forward spec.
I just don't get, like, there's such an easy out. Like, the PCs could have just been like, we'll let people vote their conscience and then leave it at that. You know, what are your plans?
The PCs, the Saskatchewan Progressive Conservatives, didn't participate
in the survey.
And neither did the Liberals. So we don't know what to say about them.
But I'm saying, like, it's an easy out to just say we have no particular plan. We're going to let our people vote their conscience, which could go either way.
You're confusing parliamentarians being able to vote on the thing and an election where the public votes on the thing.
No.
So they need to know what they stand for. You can't just say, you do you, man. No. We need to know what you're going to do if we elect you.
It's what I'm saying is, like, they could just say we have no particular plans to
and
start
that's
or
part
stop
of the,
anything.
That's
yeah.
part of the problem with the Saskatchewan Party is that they weren't really committing anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas the NDP was committing a suicide prevention bill.
Okay.
As well as budgeting $5 million to tackle the suicide pandemic.
If your party is not pledging anything for, but they're also not pledging anything against, like, we have no intentions of ending same-sex civil unions. Like, I would hope for better, but that's, like, for me, the baseline, that you do nothing either way.
Now, speaking of elections, New Zealand just elected the gayest parliament that ever did parliament.
And by that, we don't mean, like, it's all fabulous and they're redecorating it with, like, disco balls.
They all go to work on a rainbow unicorn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the only mode of travel.
Yeah, and really, it's just that they have the most number of openly LGBTQ representatives elected into parliament, which is not as pithy, I guess you could say, as just saying gay parliament. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's important. Jacinda Ardern, who is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, and a lot have been talking about her landslide victory.
Mm.
I think they have a lot of political parties, but she took 64 of 120 seats, which is actually a landslide victory of just four.
Mm.
More than half.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not like, you know, we're not talking dictator level victory here.
They also have, I think, seven parties. So if you get a majority in a country that has that many parties, that is a strong majority.
It is a very strong majority, yeah. And it means that they can enact policy without having to necessarily collaborate. But so they now have 11 out politicians in its parliament, which as a percentage is about 9%, I believe. I had it here.
11 out of 164. Are you going to make me do math? Here, I'll open my calculator.
Yes, it was 9%.
Okay.
And now previously, the UK had the most with 7%, which was actually 45 out of 650. So as a percentage of the parliamentarians, they have a smidge more than any other parliament that's ever did exist. But at the end of the day, it's 120. That's really not that many.
Not in terms of having the most LGBT people, but the parliament with the fewest straight people easily was Belgium.
Because they had no parliament.
Because they had no parliament.
Yes, yes. It does now. They had an election and they now have a parliament.
Oh, it was like 7 years they were run by the bureaucracy and everyone was sitting there going, do we even need elected officials? We don't even like them. But yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, I was reading an interesting thing. It was actually a meme on Facebook, a meme on Facebook.
Okay.
And we all know how reliable as a news source Facebook is.
Ooh.
But what was really interesting to me, after Jacinda Ardern won this victory, she's seen as a bit of like a bastion of liberalism and of social democracy and really like the antithesis to Trump. everything that Trump is, she is the opposite. She has not grabbed women by the vagines, for example.
Well, I mean, not without their consent.
Not without
their consent. We don't know her personal life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, she is literally the opposite of that. And everyone's like, oh, you know, we should get Jacinda Ardern to run X country, Y country. And the Post was essentially saying, like, look, you know, you don't need Jacinda Ardern.
Yeah.
You don't need Jacinda Ardern's political party. Yep. What you need is to vote your own Jacinda Ardern's in.
Yeah.
You know, look at your ballot box, top to the bottom of the ballot, every office, and think, who here is my Jacinda Ardern?
Yep.
And vote for them.
Yep, yep.
And if you really believe and have a passion, you know, help those folks get elected, volunteering, contributing, doing what you can. But yeah, no, the idea of, oh my gosh, such a leader over there is so much better. Why can't we have them here? Really, we're looking at it the wrong way around. Yeah. We should be looking, why isn't our leader like that one?
Well, it's also, how does our political system encourage the worst people to succeed and make it more difficult for good people to succeed? Like, it's Canada has so many moving parts, so I don't like falling back on American examples all the time, but because the American system is pay to play, like, you need to be wealthy or funded by someone who's wealthy in order to actually get elected into office.
Yeah.
So, of course, they have a corrupt government, because in order to get into the government, you have to have at least a little bit of corruption in the first place. It's you know, not a big surprise. So what is it about the Canadian system that is preventing the best imaginable people from even participating? Because I don't know how many times you've looked at your local slate, like your local representatives at the province or the whatever. Here in Ottawa, the last municipal election was embarrassing because there were so many good people and they got like a fraction of a percent of the vote.
And I think that falls back to the, you need to vote for your Jacinda Ardern.
Yeah.
You need to vote for those that you believe in. And if you really believe in them, help them convince other people to do the same. Yeah. You know, and we can't sit and gripe about our elections and our elected parties when we're the people who elected the damn things to begin with.
Well, yes and no, because sometimes parties put bad candidates in front of them. And it's like, I want to vote for this party, but that candidate's really embarrassing. Or you get an entire slate where everyone's embarrassing.
This is when we fall back to the age-old talent of what I like to call writing an angry letter.
Absolutely. To your local representative.
Writing an angry letter to your local representative, because believe it or not, some poor sap in that office is going to have to read all of these letters.
I feel very strongly about the importance of scratch votes. Showing up, registering, getting your ballot, and writing on it with a pen, these people all suck, and then putting it in the thing, because that counts towards something.
Mm.
It doesn't count, unfortunately, as much as it should, but those numbers are counted.
Yeah. Well, we're going to jump to our second song. This is Woodkid. You chose Woodkid. I chose One by One. The Woodkid's new album, I wasn't as much a fan. Yeah. you pointed Woodkid to me. What are your thoughts?
It's just, he sounded like all the other musicians we were looking at. And I was like, that sounds like Woodkid. He's gay.
Good Rufus Wainwright vibes.
Yeah, he's gay and he's French. And actually, if anything, he's more like Eamon Tobin. He's mixing different styles and very heavy on percussion. I don't know. I like him. It's all good.
And we will be back just after this.
Run, boy, run. This world is not meant for you. Run, boy, run. They're trying to catch you. Run, boy, run. Running is a victory. Run, boy, run. Beauty lies behind the hills. Run, boy, run. The sun will be guiding you. Run, boy, run. They're dying to stop you. Run, boy, run. This race is a prophecy. Run, boy, run. Break out from society. War is an awful day, hey. And you don't have to hide away, yeah. You'll be a man, boy. But for now it's time to run, it's time to run. This ride is a journey to run.
regret inside of you. Run, boy, run. This race is a prophecy. Run, boy, run. And disappear in the trees. Another day, hey. And you don't have to hide away, yeah. You'll be a man, boy. But for now, it's time to run, it's time to run. Tomorrow is another day, hey. When the night fades away, yeah. You'll be a man, boy. But for now, it's time to run, it's time to run.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I am still Sebastian.
Now, that we couldn't really get away with not talking about the biggest news of the week.
Le Pape. What did the
Pope. Yes. So in a documentary called Francesco, which is the Pope's name. And so the Pope did an interview, and during which he said that essentially same-sex couples should be given civil unions. And then, you know, the impact of this statement was monumental.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is not new thinking for Le Pape.
Yeah, yeah. This one, anyway. Yeah.
This particular Pope. When he was an archbishop in America, he actually advocated against same-sex marriage and saying that there should be same-sex union. He really did not like the idea of a same-sex marriage. Absolutely opposed it. However,
Catholic ones. I think if you're not Catholic, that's your business. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever your church agrees with you, you do you, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as a religious thing, same-sex marriage absolutely hated the idea.
Yeah.
But he believed that legally people should be given the same rights as civil unions. And that's essentially what he said this time. He's like, look, you know, people, they're all children of God.
Yeah.
And as a result, let's treat them equally in terms of the state.
And the thing is, depending on how conservative a Catholic you are, you might believe in the rule of dogma, which is that if the Pope, specifically the Pope, either gives you permission to do something, declares what the rules are now, or declares that the game is over, by the way, you just lost the game, then it's so it is. Like,
actually, if the Pope declares it, we all win.
We all win, that's true, yeah. Someone should send him a letter.
Yeah, just I'm sure they have.
End the game forever, oh my God.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's definitely a thing, and I think it's interesting because on the good side of the news, it puts people like the bishops in Poland, and then we're also talking about less so in Russia because they have the Orthodox Church but in like the Philippines, so the you know
where
the
Catholic, India have conservative Catholicism, but mainly, North Korea,
mainly Poland and the Philippines. I'm talking about because those archbishops and those bishops have been very vocal against gay rights. And now they're going to have the wind taken out of their sails when the Pope, the head of the Catholic Church, you know, the Bishop of Rome, is saying, you know, actually civil unions a-okay with me. Absolutely the way to go.
Yeah.
So people are saying, you know what, for every country which isn't Western, you know, Europe and North America, this is huge news.
Yeah.
Because for the countries which follow kind of Catholic guidance, You know, this is major. Yeah. This is huge. Now,
Catholic Africa as well, South America, Central America.
Absolutely. Yeah. Big, big news. And it's having a major impact on how gay rights are being able to move forward.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing is a bit of a pushback on the other side, because the Archbishop of San Francisco said, you know, he was like, well, when I spoke to the Pope, because every 5 years, all the bishops have to go and chat with the Pope.
Okay.
He said, when I spoke to the Pope, we had the same conversation.
Is it like they have tea with the Pope, or is it like a conference?
It's like a conference, like your little region.
I want to know.
There's not that many of them. There's like maybe, you know, there's not like huge region.
Do they get swag bags with like...
Oh, I want a
coffee paper mugs and yes, thumb drives.
Papal swag bags for the win. Yes. And the thumb drives are tiny cross-shaped.
Yeah. So, oh. Yeah.
But yeah, no, the Archbishop of San Francisco essentially said, look, you know, we had the same conversation, and he was saying that when he spoke to the Pope about this same idea, about civil unions, not marriage, he very much believed that's because civil unions is an issue of the state.
Yeah.
It is your right to X with X, and marriage, you know, being able to visit your dying husband in a, you know, a hospital ward, the will, you know, children, all of the legal things that pertain to a civil union. And he said he very much believed that the role of the state there is separate, but the religious institution, the religious sacrament of marriage, absolutely, fundamentally, different question altogether. And the bishop of the Archbishop of San Francisco essentially believes that although everyone's hooting and hollering about the Pope being like, yay, civil unions. Mm. He's like, I don't think all your pro-gay advocates really realize that although this is huge news for some, this is like still a consistent stance on gay marriage.
Well, I mean, so this is sort of a reflection of how, in general, the Catholic Church has been moving towards a good, strong message of separation of church and state. And I think part of it's a little bit self-serving. So it's not just like, hey, Catholics, stop telling your government what to do, because there's non-Catholics in your country as well.
No, the Catholic bishops, almost busybodies.
Yeah, no, I know, like, I know. But
they're all up in legislation.
The official word is stop telling people what to do. But as a result of that, also, hey, different states of the world, stop telling us what to do. Some of that might be self-serving. Some of that might actually be some kind of gregariousness in some way. But this is sort of a reflection of that, that, you know, civil unions, that's a state thing. Leave it. You don't tell us what to do. Don't force us to marry people. We won't force you to stop giving civil unions out. I think that that kind of a stalemate is a least worse situation for sure. Even if there is this nefarious thing where it's like they're throwing the crumbs on the table so you don't mention so you don't notice the cake.
Well, speaking of the cake that's being not mentioned here, and that is the fact that in Italy, including the city of Rome, there have been 63 Italian cities that have had protests, socially distant protests, not like big rallies, but like people spread out, all advocating for a petition. They've signed a petition to get the Italian government to approve new legislation that would criminalize or ban homophobic, transphobic, and misogyny discrimination. And the reason why this is a bit of a big story is because no such law has ever been rolled out in Italy.
Yeah, the real story here is, wait a minute, they didn't have that?
Yeah, there was no protections against discrimination. And there were some recent incidents where, like, a young gay man needed reconstructive surgery after being beaten to a pulp in Pescara in Italy. Now, you might be like, oh yeah, a rule against beating young gay men into a pulp just because they're gay.
Yeah.
All for that rule. Great rule. Well, not according to the Italian Brotherhood, or the Brotherhood of Italy, I should say. And those of you who are not familiar with the Brothers of Italy, that is the Italian bishops.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So when I'm saying, you know, they really don't like this law. And neither does Lega Nord, who is the right-wing opposition party in Italy. So, you know, this isn't coming out of nowhere. The Pope is putting out the we should have civil unions in an environment in Italy where there are 63 cities with major protests. Well, major for COVID times, protests about finally, you know, somebody had a non-Italian sign. It was the only English one in this. I think it was Naples, where it said, "Why am I still protesting this?" You know, and that was the sign. Like, why is it that year 2020,
yeah,
Italy still has no protections against misogyny,
yeah,
against racism, yeah, homophobia, transphobia. It's
very
so, and I think that's really the context here. You know, the media is all like, "Yay, the Pope." But when you look a little deeper, it is really good news for, yeah, places like Poland, the Philippines, where those dioceses have been actively engaged in, you know, advocating against laws that would have supported LGBT rights.
What other country has a lot of Catholics in it? Sri Lanka.
Actually, Sri Lanka just rolled out anal virginity tests this, yeah, week. You know, if you've had a lot of fiber,
yeah,
you would fail one of these tests.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So just stay away from fiber. You know what you need? You need to be that. I mean, how ridiculous is that? It is barbaric.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It's, yeah, scientifically proven again and again. So much so that scientists are like, really?
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, great news by the Pope. However, let's limit our enthusiasm, because even in Italy, the Catholic Church is involved in tackling and fighting against LGBT rights.
So peculiar in current year.
Absolutely. Well, that's about all we've got time for. Yeah, there's a couple of stories that we've run out on. But I've been Luke Smith.
And I... Oh, what are we playing out with?
We're
first
playing The Knife That Heartbeats. Interesting story about this I read on Spotify.
Yeah.
But the acoustic cover version of this went to like number 7 in the UK,
yeah,
and became a Sony commercial.
Yeah.
And you may recognize the lyrics, but it's actually The Knife, which is the band that you recommended.
Swedish band, yeah. Brother and sister, he's gay, she's bisexual. They make music that is not radio-friendly. Heartbeat is one of their only radio-friendly tracks. If you want to hear something fascinating and weird, check out We Share Our Mother's Health. But we're not playing that. We're playing Heartbeat, which is, yeah, radio-friendly.
And I've been Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian. And thank you for listening.